You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Coming up on the free-for-all, virtual reality. It's not just for science fiction anymore. It's real. Joanna Stern is in the studio to talk about her experience in the virtual world. Next, free-for-all.
You're listening to Free-for-All from the Wall Street Journal. Now, here's Jason Gay.
Hey, this is Jason Gay, and welcome to the free-for-all. As always, I'm joined in the studio by my editor, my boss man, my consigliere, my colleague, Jim Cherusmi. Jim, how are you?
Good, good. I wouldn't say I'm your boss.
You're kind of my boss. You know, you have the ability to hire and fire. I understand. You know, there's a reason why you're here. You know, I'm trying to bring you close to me so you feel a certain loyalty to me.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Jim, very, very exciting show we have today.
Very excited.
Our good friend Joanna Stern is back with us.
Back.
On the free-for-all to talk about a couple of topics, but to start with, Jim, Joanna's got a big blast expose in the journal out now. When did it go live?
2 hours ago.
2 hours ago. So this is
fresh. Off the digital press.
And if you look at the story online, it almost looks like the future of internet web journalism in terms of moving images and things like that while you're reading.
This is true.
I love this man.
This story is about...
You want to be my boss?
Virtual... Jim, do not try to poach Jim. This is about virtual reality. Now, some people might have a vague understanding what virtual reality is. You know, we have associations from science fiction films and from other sort of iterations of it in technology, but... What are you looking for? She's climbing around the studio. Oh, her ears are getting blown out. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's the worst.
I'm afraid I wouldn't hear our other special guest.
No, and you'd have tinnitus. Yeah, no, it's terrible. Virtual reality. And this is not the sort of, you know, hocus pocus nonsense we've seen in the past. This is the real thing. This is the headset. I don't know if you've seen these headsets. If you're watching the Free for All podcast on... what is it? What are we on? Fox Sports 6 right now? If you're watching at home, you can see me holding up the goggles.
Z100.
But these are things that are currently in play. And Joanna, you, in your story, you paint yourself as a bit of a skeptic about VR going into this story. You are not a gamer.
You're not
someone who had been sort of fantasizing about this for a generation.
So this, you know, the tech industry started buzzing about VR about two and a half years ago, right? Oculus came, no, actually 3 years. Oculus made this big splash at CES.
Now, Oculus is the Facebook adjunct, right?
Exactly. And then Mark Zuckerberg decides he wants to take $2 billion and spend it on Oculus. And so, you know, if you're in the tech industry, you start wondering, oh, crap, I got to start paying attention to this. This is really going to happen. And I just kept hearing virtual reality. I just keep thinking... nerds in their basement. No offense to you guys.
Why? It's always the basement.
It's always
Jim.
The basement. It doesn't have to be the basement, but it kind of has to be like
nerds in the attic.
Nerds in the attic. Nerds
away from everyone else
in the computer room.
Yeah,
and they've got their headset on and they're playing. You know, they're shooting gnomes and Second Life, and you know, this was like my image of this.
Yes.
And.
You didn't see a practical application to
I really
your life.
Didn't. I was like, why would I have one of these?
Yeah.
And so I went on this journey, and I found that I want to put on this headset during the day to do a number of different things.
Now, let's talk about this headset, because let's be honest, it's hella goofy looking still. I mean, this has not been whittled down.
They're silly looking.
Like Google Glasses, you know, RIP, but Google Glasses were downright sophisticated looking compared to this thing. This looks like a giant welding goggles that you attach a smartphone to.
Some of them. Yes,
some of them. Okay.
So what's coming out in the next couple of weeks, like Oculus is this high-end system. Okay. And the graphics, and when you put this thing on, it is like a super intense experience because the graphics are good. It knows the motion of where your hands are if you're using the controllers. I mean, you really feel like you're in this thing.
Okay.
Those are high-end. They're like $800, $600.
That's coming out in a couple of weeks?
Coming out like next week.
Huh.
But it's still relatively bulky, right?
Those are like... Those really are for the gamers, right? And those are going to start with the gamers over here. And then you've got some of these cheaper ones, like that $100 Samsung that you're holding that definitely does not look cool, but you can pop your smartphone into. And Google Cardboard is an example of that. That's $20, and that's a cardboard holder if you haven't seen it for your phone, and you drop your iPhone or your Android phone in there.
Well, the New York Times, which is a free shopping newspaper, which they hand out on the corner, they did something like that earlier where they had a cardboard thingy that you stuck a phone into.
Exactly.
But that's not what we're talking about here.
It's sort of what we're talking about here. I mean, the same experiences that are made for cardboard and some of those lower-end headsets you're going to have in these higher-end headsets.
Yeah.
Our video that we made today,
and
I'd like to bring in our special guest.
I want to get to the special guest.
So I went on this journey, and I really felt like I love words, but the best way to present why VR is great is in a VR video or in a 360 video.
Right.
So you can see some of the experiences that are sort of trying to match our real world in the virtual world.
Why try to render a multidimensional experience on a one-dimensional print page is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Now you work with this co-conspirator, and please introduce your co-conspirator here.
He's my co-conspirator, definitely the VR visionary of the Wall Street Journal. He's the visionary of the Wall Street Journal.
Yes, he is. He might be the most talented guy at this paper.
Likely.
Yeah.
Guy, but not girl.
Okay.
Is Gerard Cole, and he's been leading our effort to start telling journalism and news stories in 360 video. And they've done some really fun stuff. This is the best thing we've done, obviously, because I was involved.
This is our masterpiece.
Gerard, now you and Joe have been working for a while together. Well, this is the relationship bordering on a year now?
Some good context on that.
We do
annual collaborations. I can only handle Joanna's standards once a year.
So you didn't do the unicorn?
We did not. No, that is another genius at the Journal.
I have two geniuses.
And Jason, working in sports.
I can't expense coffee here, okay? And Joanna has two geniuses working with her?
That's right.
Working in sports, Gerard was responsible for our most popular video of last year, the American Pharaoh Secretariat side-by-side.
Gerard, ignore Joe for 1 second. What will it take to have you come over and work full-time in sports? What do you want?
He loves sports, though.
I think we might actually be working together coming up, Jason. We'll talk after.
Okay,
but
good.
You know, it's salary negotiations are in process, and we'll go from there.
But Joe, you did get Sporty Spice for this. You got on the ice at Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden,
you're
baby.
In goalie gear.
Goalie gear.
New York Rangers goalie gear. And why?
So this is kind of hard to explain, but my mission here was to take virtual reality experiences and show you them in the real world. Because you picture these space odysseys and gnomes and laser, but almost so much of the best stuff happening in virtual reality is happening in places you can either go to or you can't go to, but you can watch people go to. Yeah. And one of them is sports.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big sports fan.
Sure.
But I did, the Rangers teamed up with this VR startup called Striver, and they do sort of a game simulation where you stand in the goal and block shots. And I did it and was completely blown away.
Yeah.
I've never played hockey before.
Yeah.
I don't even know really what hockey is. I mean, you can ask Gerard. I truly did not. I had to go out and buy hockey gear, and I was like, why would anyone spend $100?
She almost brought roller skates back to go ice skating at the Garden, so we were starting at a low baseline.
Hockey stuff is so expensive.
What did you do?
Hockey gear is so expensive.
Where is the stuff now? Is it at your apartment?
It's in my office.
I got skates.
I got used skates, basically. They were like the floor model
of
the skates.
Did you get leg pads?
No.
No, okay.
I just got a stick. I got skates.
Helmet.
I got a jersey.
Okay.
Well, I got leggings. I got leggings, but those were just for me.
And you got a Rangers sweater.
I got socks.
Okay.
I got a hat. I got a Rangers hat.
You did get a Rangers hat.
Yeah. And so So there's this great experience, and I was like, this is crazy good. It's awesome. You feel like you're in the goal. I was really bad. It was really, really bad. I didn't block any shots, really. And so then we, in making of this video, we decided we're going to go to MSG, and we're going to try and shoot on the ice in the same spot that you are in this simulation.
Yeah.
And somehow we convinced someone at MSG to let us do that. They wouldn't let us ride the Zamboni, but we got to sit on it.
We begged. We learned something really interesting about the Zamboni drivers, though, at MSG. We met two of them. One's been there 10 years, one's been there 16, and neither of them can ice skate.
Hmm.
Yeah.
They've been driving the Zamboni.
Well, let's hope they don't fall off. They're in big trouble. Gerard, in your professional experience and from your eye, were you, you know, when the conversation began about virtual reality, were you equally skeptical as Joanna? Or were you somebody who was like, oh, I can't wait to see this stuff and use the gear?
No, I actually was as skeptical. Yeah, I mean, when I first heard about it, when we were considering doing stories, I thought it was a gimmick. I thought it was going to be like 3D TV.
Yeah.
And as soon as you get the headset on and you do a decent experience, it doesn't have to be great. It just has to be a decent experience that doesn't make you sick. You convert pretty quickly.
In terms of the making you sick quality, is there a, you know, is there an art to like making virtual reality film in the same way that, you know, photography or any other kind of video or film?
Oh, absolutely. What we've gotten to at this point is that the technology itself won't make most people sick. So if you put on the headset, there's nothing about it that's going to make you sick.
Right.
If I take the camera though and I put that on a roller coaster, I'm going to make you sick.
Right.
So absolutely, like how aggressive you are about moving the camera, where we put you, totally affects your experience, which is why it's important for folks who are doing it for the first time to, you know, find a good video to watch, one that's not going to, you know, do anything too risky with them, basically.
And one of the things that I've learned, you know, I've been doing video for quite a while, is actually also there's an art from how you talk to the camera.
Hmm. How so?
Like all these scenes over the last couple of months doing these different things. We went to San Francisco to shoot. We went to a classroom to shoot. That's actually, I think, the best part of the video.
Yeah.
I'm sitting with fifth graders and I'm like, you know, in it with them. They're going on a VR field trip.
Yes.
I mean, it's awesome. But you like have to talk to the camera in a more like intimate way.
Yeah.
Because they can see all these things and you don't want to be the person who's sort of like, and as I can see, you know, they're seeing it. And so we actually redid the open a couple of times for me to sort of really talk to the viewer and say, hi, no, it's me. You're safe. We're going to go on this trip together.
Right.
And that's a different thing. And also, you'll notice in the open, it's on white. Part of that is because if we put you in a scene when you're even in the most boring room, like this room, this is a super boring room.
Right.
Who made this room? It's so boring.
Jim and I, it took us hours.
But like people will be looking around. They're not going to be listening to me. And so you lose the viewer a lot because they're not listening to the words
That's
you're
interesting.
Saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see this as being, you know, as the technology presents itself now and as you can sort of envision it growing, is it value add as an experience or can it ultimately be replacement experience, i.e. the idea of going to a lecture hall becomes unnecessary, or the idea of going to Brazil becomes unnecessary? Or is it always going to be, you know, an accompaniment to whatever sort of experience?
There's a couple of things in the video that definitely get your mind thinking that, and in the article. One of the places I think you can absolutely in the future see us wanting to replace something is a lecture hall or an experience where you're trying to sort of present something that, why do you need to be there?
Yeah.
One of the really interesting things,
a meeting
for sure, that stuff is definitely not far enough along yet.
Yeah.
The Broadway show experience is so good.
Yeah.
And if you like, I mean, I obviously get the best seats in the world, but you don't get great seats if you're going to one of these. I mean, same with the sporting event.
Sure.
I really do think that is a business hurdle for some of these people or some of these companies as they're developing these. None of the Broadway people wanted to talk about it, to be
honest.
That's
very interesting. But, I'd imagine, you know, courtside seats will become less of a priority.
But also it opens up a whole different business model for Broadway theaters, right? Why not charge people, you know?
Right. Instead of, you know, not ever being able to see Hamilton, would you pay $100 to have a virtual experience of watching Hamilton?
I would.
You mentioned in the top of the story.
Then I would throw up afterwards.
Real estate already applying it. And, you know, that just makes total sense because, you know, Jim, you're on the market, I know, for a penthouse condo in Manhattan. if you can't be going door to door with a real estate agent, what better way to have the experience of at least getting a vibe for what the place is like? And so this is already in practice.
Already in practice. When we shot in San Francisco, there was a guy in the house shooting it for a realtor. He was shooting the house. He was capturing the house in 3D so people could watch it in a headset.
And I talked to a realty agent a couple weeks ago who said that he uses it as kind of like the first taste. So whereas he normally would be able to show someone 5-6 properties in a day, they look at 20 or 30 in the room with him at the start and then say, okay, I was interested in seeing this one in
That's
real
really
life. And then
it's kind of funny that real estate agents have become kind of early adopters of technology. They were kind of quick on the drones too, right? Doing drone footage over properties and so on.
They are up on their production. I mean, there is hesitation there though. Some of them were saying, well, you know, I want to be next to my client as I go into the living room and sort of do the unveil with them and warm them up on these big marquee properties. Yeah. They're saying, I can't do that in the headset. I just have to kind of put them in there and then they're gone. So, yeah, but they're pushing the boundaries.
Joanna, what does this mean for, you know, programmers, developers, people who are in the world already of, you know, making applications and content for people? Do you have to completely, you know, reorient your business now, or do you have to sort of add this as another thing that you do?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't at South by Southwest a couple of weeks ago, but there was a lot of buzz there about what all of these tech companies are doing now on their like sort of spin-off VR space, virtual reality apps and content space. And I think we're already seeing it. Entertainment's going to push really hard. That's going to be the first place, right? Sports, theater, movies, all these types of experiences. Google's supposed to enter in a big way soon. They're working on a headset. Obviously, Facebook's pushing really hard. They're going to push hard with Oculus. I think Apple is that missing link. Mm-hmm. We already have lots of rumors that Apple is got a huge team working on VR and AR, augmented reality. But when I really think about Apple pushing this space ahead, if you look at the iPod, you look at the iPad, things where they felt things would go really far was with entertainment apps.
Yeah.
And I think once you've got those studios and those pushing, I think Apple's going to be hugely interested in
this space. So was this a technology that was sort of put on the back burner? Because I remember hearing in the 90s that virtual reality was the next frontier in technology. But then here we are, you know, 20 years later, and we're still not quite there.
Right. And we're right now, like as I said in the article, we're at the Apple II days, not the iMac days, not the iPad days. Like that's still where we are.
And yet there's an accessibility. The fact that these things are, you know, you mentioned what, $700, $800 for these, you know, these are not like crazy prices of what we saw, you know, digital or, you know, HD cameras were when they first came out.
And what's
made that happen is the smartphones in our pockets.
Yeah.
They now have sharper screens that are cheap. They have batteries. They have processors. You know, your iPhone, even though Apple doesn't make a headset for it, you can put it in the Google Cardboard and it works great.
Right.
So that technology actually, you know, 90s, they knew what they wanted to do, but it would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now the smartphones have gotten those chips ready for them and they say, okay, we can make these headsets now at a price that people can afford. So there's like a convergence there that's really making it exciting.
Samsung makes that headset right over there.
Is the holy grail some sort of, you know, Samsung makes this headset. You know, beautiful rendering of this kind of apparatus that everybody will want, and you know, you can put grandma in at Christmas.
Depends on how dystopian you want to go. Some people say the Holy Grail is the contact lens that is in your eye. Warby Parker making its VR headsets for you. But yeah, you'd want it to be as lightweight and comfortable as a pair of sunglasses.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, what we're talking about in this piece too is like very small bursts of experiences.
Yeah.
Not watching the full game, because the full game, I mean, you should check out some of the sports stuff. You know about sports,
yes.
It sounds like. The sports stuff is not great yet. It really is not great yet. And I can't imagine, like, right now, why anyone would want to sit and watch how long are games?
Well, it depends on what the sport is, but they range anywhere from 10 seconds to 4 hours.
Four hours, yeah. Right. Like, that, I mean, to me, that's what they seem like. Yeah. I mean, well, by the time I've already gotten my hot dog and all that stuff.
Here's a sport that I care deeply about, which is the sport of professional bike racing. It's a marginal sport in this country, but it would seem to me to be perfect for this kind of experience because you can put an audience member in the you know, the pack, or there's a going up the mountain, and you have that incredible visceral experience that is impossible to translate from just a terrestrial camera or from a camera on a motorcycle. And all of a sudden you, but what are you, what are the things that you need, Jared? Like, what are the things that you actually have to have?
Yeah, well, there's two challenges with sports viewing, and I think you're nailing it on bike racing, because the thing that VR would be amazing at is conveying that power and that speed and that skill. You'll feel like you're either standing on the side of the road or you're flying over right. the pack. The challenge is actually producing those shots. Yeah. So resolution of streams is too low, so it looks a little fuzzy when you're watching it. So yeah. that's not great. So sports that work better right now are things like basketball, where you're closer to the action.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're
just
we're
dumb question.
A
how many how many angles are you shooting at? Are you just shooting like a, is it a 360 degree lens that is like motion?
Yeah, most cameras are shooting in all directions,
okay.
so you can look anywhere. So when you put right. on the headset, you can look up, down. You could look back at the crowd if right. you wanted to, if that's more interesting to you.
Gotcha.
Some other companies, there's a company called NextVR that's probably the best live streaming sports. VR company right now.
Mm-hmm.
They sometimes do the full sphere, but sometimes they're just doing like the court.
Right.
So that's in 3D and you feel like you're there, but they don't need to show you everything else. So people are learning what the language is of sports broadcasting in VR, because the thing you can't do
yeah.
is quick cuts. You know, the thing we love when we're watching sports are the close-up and then going to the crowd reaction and all that. You can't do that in VR. You make people sick.
Do you see any substitute for, you know, cinema? I mean, obviously Hollywood's going to be all over this. They're going to want to go definitely try to embrace it. But, you know, will we still have a, you know, will the 2D experience still have appeal in your mind, Joanna?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe once this stuff gets so good and we're talking 10 years out, I mean, like I said, right now, you don't want to. I don't even like being in one of these things for longer than 20 minutes.
But it does make some funny questions. Like, okay, like I, you know, like I could understand a kid wanting to be in Iron Man and like walk around. But like, do I want to wander through like Steel Magnolias or like?
No,
like
I think
in terms of endearment,
I think that's
like,
the
that's
exact.
What I would pick.
No, I think
that's where I want to be.
I think that's the perfect question, though, because some filmmakers, James Cameron, who yeah. loves technology yeah. and loves pushing the boundaries with Avatar and everything,
yeah.
he's already said, I don't consider this filmmaking. I consider this something different. It's much closer to a video game
yeah.
than exactly that, a movie where you can really, you know, isolate characters and develop emotion and things like that. So I think there's going to be a split, and movies are going to be here for a while,
but
too.
But maybe our brains are like, you know, we're all old enough to that there will be a generation that comes up that is going to, like, think of this as a,
yeah.
you know, creative filmmaking technique, and we will see Oscars for this kind of thing in our lifetime, I imagine.
Yeah,
or
I do.
Category.
Well, that
different
the
category.
Show's already long enough, Jim. We can't have another category.
God, yeah.
We're going to be back with our special guest talking about some other virtual, no, they're not virtual topics. Real topics in the world, technology. Joanna Stern back with us next, Free for All.